First, we're talking board games, classic, new, strategy, challenging, teams, trivia, you name it. We're rediscovering these tried and true cardboard competitions. And with people spending more time at home because of the COVID-19 pandemic, board games are experiencing a bit of a resurgence. And it's not just those families sitting at the kitchen table playing Monopoly or Sorry or Clue. There are a lot of different games out there. And people are even finding ways to play with friends and relatives across the neighborhood or even across the country. Our guide here is Gordon Lugauer, who's president and CEO of Board Game Barrister. That's a chain of board game stores in the Milwaukee area. Gordon, welcome to Central Time.
Why, hello. Pleasure to be here.
Why are we turning to board games at this time? What's motivating us?
Well, I will say, you know, board games, even before the pandemic, you know, we have all these little screens that atomize us, that break us apart. But human beings are at their core a social species, and we want to interact with one another as people. So we've always striven to find ways to connect and have those shared experiences. And games are a great, super efficient way to have those shared experiences, those highs and lows of drawing the right card at the right time or, missing that roll of the dice. So you get those shared experiences, those highs and lows, a lot of them in a really compressed period of time. And so that's why games are really so important to us as everything is pulling us and distracting us apart. I think here in the pandemic, the onslaught of change that is hitting us and a fair amount of the doom and gloom, the playing games and having those shared experiences with people who you love in that nice compressed period of time and what can be a fantasy and safe world where it's safe to succeed and safe to fail, I think that matters a whole lot in this time.
What are you hearing about the kind of games that people are choosing to play? I mean, are we going back to Monopoly or are we checking out some of the games that might be new to us?
So what I'm seeing is that we are not going to new games per se. We are going to safe games. We're going to things that we know. Now, that might be a Monopoly and a Jenga. It also might be more of the modern classics. But I'm seeing people that are going back to things that they already know or feel safe with and not being super experimental yet. And, of course, the big story to all of this isn't games at all, but jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, goodness. You want to go to puzzles right now, right here? We should do that?
I'm just saying that if you want to talk about what people are gravitating towards, jigsaw puzzles are so in the realm of games, it is things that are again, they might be new games, but they're things that people have already had exposure to. And then the attention that is being given to jigsaw puzzles is just enormous and orders of magnitude more.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure of the status now, but I know there were times that there wasn't a puzzle to be picked up or shipped to you at all for weeks. Why do you think people are going to puzzles then? Because it's not a competition thing. I mean, I guess you could make puzzles a competition, but in general, it's collaborative. You're all working for the same goal.
Correct. And we're seeing that in games as well, that a type of game that is being very popular are the cooperative games. I think it's the sense of accomplishment, right? For so many of us who we aren't going to work, we aren't going to school, we don't get to see the fruits of our efforts. And so puzzles give you that very concrete, very tactile sense of accomplishment. It also gives you something to focus on. And being able to put your focus into something where you are participating and you are creating that outcome is really super important. And it's very different than being passive and watching something on a screen that's entertaining. Also good and important. But I think that's where the interest in puzzles is really spiking from.
Yeah, I mean, we had a colleague share a picture with us earlier today where it's animals sitting around a poker table playing Hungry Hungry Hippos is the puzzle that she just completed. So there are gradient puzzles that are, or, you know, things that are really the same texture. And there are some easier ones that might give you an opportunity to laugh a little bit or maybe those classic paintings, things like that. So that's neat.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And I do know that here on Central Time, we talked about puzzles back on April 10th. So we'll make sure that there's a link on WPR.org/Central Time so that people can check out more about puzzles there. Gordon Lugauer leads a chain of board games in the Milwaukee area. And we're talking about board games and puzzles and card games and other things that you're doing to pass the time. And there's room for you in this conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can tell us what you're playing or if you have a question about a specific game. We're definitely taking them at 800-642-1234. Sarah on our Facebook page writes, "We bought Pandemic." So a little bit of dark humor here. "We bought Pandemic, but have played a lot of Exploding Kittens and the new Cards Against Humanity Family Edition. We're always looking for those cooperative or silly games because we have three boys." So there's one example of the collaborative nature we talked about. But also Exploding Kittens, Cards Against Humanity, these are card games.
Sure, absolutely. I tend to think about things as just being games. You know, the manner in which you are getting that experience, whether it is from cards or whether it is from dice or whether it is from, you know, tiles or a rigid board in front of you. You know, the medium in which that experience is encountered, that varies, right? And that'll based on a whole bunch of things from the game design and the production and the costing of it. But to me, they're just all games. And whether it is a game that you are playing with cards or it is a game that you are playing with wooden pieces, it's still all about the experience that you're having back and forth. But yeah, absolutely. If you look at the set of our, you know, kind of top selling games, they're all over the map, whether it is something that is played predominantly with cards or played with tiles or what have you.
Interesting. And those two games that we pointed out are, there are words on cards, or some games have pictures on cards, not your traditional deck of cards, but certainly there are many games that people play with a traditional deck of cards.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
This one might be a little bit challenging for us. We'll see what you have to say back to Lisa. Lisa writes on the Ideas Network Facebook page, "When one lives alone, there are no board games you can play. What suggestions might you have for people who live by themselves?"
Oh, well, so that statement is just not correct. There are lots of board games you can play. There are, in fact, we just posted on our Facebook page about a new set of solo play rules for the Harry Potter Hogwarts battle card game. And that's a game that is normally played cooperatively, everybody against the game. And the publisher just made a new rule set so that you can play it alone. So there are games that are you against the game. In fact, your earlier caller mentioned Pandemic. Now, that's a cooperative game where all of the players are playing together against the game. You can modify that really easily to play that single player where you are playing multiple people's roles against the game. So there are plenty of opportunities, more than just playing solitaire with a normal, you know, a 52-card deck, of things that you can do to play games. We've had a number of people who have been interested in the escape or unlock games, and this is a game trend that started about 3 years ago. If you're familiar with the new escape room style of group experience, there's a whole bunch of games, largely card-driven, that are simulating that escape room experience. So they're all puzzle games. They're often timed, and you're trying to figure out what the mystery is. And those have been very popular for single players.
All right. And we have a caller who wants to join the conversation now. Don from DeForest is on the line. Hi, Don. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi. I had a question about this new game I've heard. We were thinking about buying it, but it's sort of expensive, and I just wanted to get your guest's opinion on it. It's called Wingspan.
Sure. So Wingspan is a fantastic game that if you can find it, you should grab a copy of it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's probably about $60. It was a big hit last year, but it has had just almost no supply. It has been very, very hard. We haven't had it in stock since January. Very hard to keep around. And again, that's in part due to Chinese production issues. But it's a fantastic game, has had a lot of press, won a lot of awards, a lot of attention last year. A game about bird watching, of all things, and that's a game that'll have both cards and a board and some components and so on. A little bit of a plug for the future, but the designer of that game has a new game that'll be coming out later this year called Mariposa. That's about butterflies. That looks really awesome.
Oh, how fun. And we do have a show, a conversation later in this show, actually, about bird watching. So, Don, if you're interested in Wingspan, it sounds like it's got some great reviews. And also, you may want to tune in later as we talk about birds that we can see in Wisconsin, because that game focuses on discovering and attracting birds to wildlife preserves, taking some of these real ethical and ecological challenges that we have right now and making it a game. So there's a little bit of of a social responsibility aspect to that there. So that's certainly interesting. We are talking about fun board games we can play with our family and friends during the Safer at Home order. And Gordon Lugauer is our guest. He's the owner of some stores in Milwaukee. And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. We want to hear from you. What games have you been playing while you're staying home? Have you been playing any? What about over video chat? Do you have a new twist on a favorite game that you have put together? Have you changed the rules? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You're part of this conversation. It continues right here on Central Time. Thanks for being with us here on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we are talking about the best games to play during this coronavirus pandemic with Gordon Lugauer. He's president and CEO of a chain of board game stores in the Milwaukee area, and we want to hear from you. Margaret writes, we play Settlers of Catan with our son in L.A. while we're here in Wisconsin. We set up the board and resources to match over video chat, and it works great. Maybe you are like Margaret. Tell us how you're making video games or board games work across the continent at 800-642-1234, taking your suggestions for your favorite games, and maybe you could even get some advice if you've got a question about one. 800-642-1234. Carlin from Genesee is on the line now and ready to talk with us. Hi, Carlin.
Hi. So as a teacher, I'm interested in games that will help the children practice. I'm elementary teaching, so math skills, reading skills, vocabulary, science. I know things like simple ones like Boggle or Yahtzee, that's all, you know, practicing math. But if there's any other suggestions out there, I'd love to share it with the class.
And Carlin, are you thinking of things that people might buy or things that they might be able to do with materials they've got at home? Maybe we can narrow this a bit.
Well, either any of them, just anything, you know, right, something that they might have at home or something they could get. I mean, I know, like Yahtzee, all you need is the game sheet and 5 dice. So,
yeah.
You know, it seems like it'd be pretty simple.
Sounds
but
great.
Anyway, if there's any other suggestions of good games for practicing, school.
Sounds great. Thanks, Carlin. Gordon, any and all suggestions for games that also teach kids stuff?
Sure. So I'm going to answer that kind of broadly and a little wishy-washy.
We'll take it.
The act of playing games is, of course, really excellent. Being able to, as you say, to play Yahtzee, you're learning to do a lot of quick math. You're learning some probability. These are all really relevant things. There's a kind of a subdivision of games that I like to think of as curricular-based games, and these are kind of really hammering in on a particular particular thing. So I think about like Smath or Mobi that are really about making quick equations, right? So that is really, really focused on a particular thing, and there are games that do that. Most of the ones that historically are out there are kind of like a glorified flashcard or there's not a lot of game to them, but there are some, again, I just happen to pick on those two, that in particular Mobi, which is a great little gamified version of math Scrabble. It is really fun to play, and at the same time, you're doing a lot of math. But something else to think about is the environment where you're going to get the students to be working on the activity. So what I mean by that is, like for me personally, I started playing Dungeons & Dragons at a very young age. What this meant is that I was now interested, because I wanted to, play a wizard who was out, fighting dragons, in reading these books that had fairly advanced language. And in the act of playing the game involved doing a lot of math. So that meant that the curricular-based elements to it was actually all subsumed into the act of playing the game that I wanted to do just because it was fun. So really, I would focus on what is the activity, what is the space in which you are able to have those students interacting, and then how can you make that more engaging through game, and then bring in some element that will be helpful to their curricular development. And again, math and language, if you have them playing games that involve math and language, it doesn't matter that they're maybe not, doing fractions or quadratic equations. It's still good. Now, I want to have then my caveat to that is that there is a line of games, particularly for science, might be a little old for elementary school, a company called Genius Games, and it's a chemical engineer who has these games, and these are scientifically accurate games. It's not often that you will see a game that has an award or a citation from the Journal of Cell Biology on it, but that's what these games are. They are not science-themed games. They are science-accurate games. So, like, one of my favorites from them is a game called Cytosis. It's a little bit of a heavy game, go figure, that involves cell biology. So if you wanted to play a game that is an excellent game that is also accurately representing how cell biology and cell metabolism works, they got you covered. And so they have this line of games, they've probably got 6 or 8 of them now, that are science accurate games. So there you get something that's both curricular and in science, which is hard to do in a game fashion, and happen to be excellent games. So I hope that helps. As always, when you come to the particular situation, you know, talk to us, and we'll kind of throw some ideas back and forth and find out something that will actually be effective in your classroom or whatever setting you're trying to work with.
Sure. Get some more of those variables isolated, and then we can decide what might really work for you. That makes a lot of sense. We are talking with Gordon Lugauer about board games right now, and your thoughts are welcome at 800-642-1234. Steve from Milwaukee has one for us. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick suggestion of a game that we've been playing a lot over the lockdown. It's called Jackbox TV, and we'll stream it on our computer, and everybody joins up through, you know, like Zoom or Facebook video, and you just log in with your cell phone, and it's irreverent trivia game, and we've really enjoyed playing that with groups all around the country.
Yeah, so not just close people, but really far away, all getting together that way?
Yeah, exactly. Connect with the people that, you know, are far flung.
Very cool. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for the suggestion. So Jackbox, one of them. I know there are online games that we can all join together, like what Steve said. But Gordon, there's also the idea of not needing to be in the same room to play. I mean, I'm looking at Saturday having my kids play Pictionary with a bunch of other kids, or like 8 kids, 3 different locations. What am I getting myself into here?
Well, so, you know, your caller brings this up, and you bring this up as well, that there's actually 3 or 4 different buckets of types of games that'll work well in a virtual setting. So you have online games like Jackbox that are designed to be played entirely digitally, and there are also some board game simulators that'll work that way. Then you have games that will play well over, you know, a teleconference sort of setting, and you know, Pictionary is probably pretty okay for that.
Okay.
Within that, I like to break that into 2 different categories, and that is a category where only one person needs to have the game materials, and a category where everyone on the conference needs to have the same game materials, and they are merely having them changing their game state at the same time. So imagine if you were playing chess with one another. I could have a fully set up chess board. You could have a fully set up chess board. When you move your knight to e6, I can move your knight to e6. And so we're each looking at the same board. Your caller who played Settlers of Catan, that can work that way. If everybody has a board, you know, you can see that representation. Pandemic is an example of the first one, where only one person really needs to have the copy of Pandemic. The other person needs to have the camera pointing at the board. Your Pictionary can work in that second fashion, where so long as the person doing the drawing has the camera pointed at what they're drawing, everybody should be able to guess. And then you just need to have some way that as the different people guess, they can see a card that's telling them what to draw. And that could work by either everybody has their own stack of cards, and when it's my turn, I draw my own card, and then I draw, and the camera's pointed at what I'm drawing. Or if only one participant has the deck of cards, just everybody don't cheat. If it's your turn, I say, everybody turn your eye away from the camera. I pick up a card and hold it to my camera so that you can see what that is. When you say it's good to go, I put the card down. You've written down what it is that you're drawing. Then you point your camera at your sheet of paper and go ahead and draw. So with some subtle modifications, you can make those types of games work. The types of games that don't work are the games that involve hidden information. So like if you have a hand of cards that needs to be kept secret, mm-hmm. and the other person needs to have that, that's really hard to do. Because if we're drawing from the same supply, right, the deck of cards, whatever it might be, there can only be one of that supply, and it has to be secret and random. And so that doesn't work well over teleconference. So if that's what you're wanting to play, I would just go to Plan B.
Yeah. I like those suggestions, though. Don't cheat and communicate well. That's what I'm taking away from this for playing games from afar.
Really important skills. Yeah, really important skills, right? Yeah, don't cheat and communicate well. Yeah.
In games and in life, it works out beautifully. Stacy writes on our Facebook page, my husband and I have been playing a lot of Mystic Veil. We've also kept up board game night with friends using Steam's tabletop simulator. And she says our favorite simulated game has been Wingspan. So you got another vote for Wingspan there from Stacy. What are games that you might recommend that might be new to us? And how do we kind of figure out if we're willing to make the leap to buy the game, to learn the rules, to go through all of that effort to see if it's a good time for us?
So I'll pick on, you know, just to kind of throw a plug towards one right at the top. A brand new game, and then something that we've been recommending a lot, is a game called Cross Clues. It is a clue-giving and guessing game. It's super easy to learn. If you've played something like Codenames, this is like a next generation of Codenames, really elegant. And something like that, we have even made a video on our website that will walk you through your first game. So it's something that you can watch this video as you are playing your first game. We'll tell you where to hit pause so that you can do your stuff and then move on. So we're trying to find, some things that are new that'll play well, perhaps play well over video chat, so that you can both be assured that you're getting a new experience and that you're not getting bogged down by learning how to play.
Speaking my language, I appreciate that, Gordon. Thank you so much. The time has gone so quickly. We really appreciate all of the suggestion you have.
No, you're welcome. My pleasure. Anytime.
Gordon Lugauer is the president and CEO of Board Game Barrister. It's a chain of board game stores in Milwaukee. And we're talking with him about games that we can play during the Safer at Home order. And one more suggestion. Our producer, Bill, and his wife started playing this game that came out in the 60s called Kismet. He says it's sort of like if Yahtzee and poker had a baby. I think we'll take his word for it, but maybe you can try it out. Let us know what you think on the Ideas Network Facebook page.